Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? As we create and make something together. As we use our fleeting time in this world to surprise ourselves. To fill the spaces with joy. To be an audience for one another.
I wrote a movie, and I was thinking you could help me produce it.
Oh, okay. What's it called?
It's sort of inspired by Yasujirō Ozu. It's called I'm an Artist, But.
You're an artist, but?
No, I'm an artist, but ellipses.
You're an artist, but ellipses?
Butchie, cut it out.
He totally is an artist, but, though. I'm thinking Diego Rivera's.
What's it about, Lou?
It's about an idealistic and enthusiastic young man who wants to be an artist. So he studies all the great artists and movements, learns all the skills he can, even goes to art school.
I smell tragedy coming.
And then he graduates and tries to have a career as an artist, but he has little or no success and is even mocked and jeered for his attempts. He eventually finds work in a bar where he spends his days listening to other people's disappointments.
Life is disappointing.
That depresses him. So he quits that and goes to work at a loading dock picking up boxes. Eventually, he stops doing art altogether and just spends the weekends drinking with his coworkers.
The end. That's like a realistic recruitment ad for careers in the arts. You could make it a poet's butt or a musician's butt, too.
Does it have a happy ending? Does he ever fulfill his dream?
No and no. But it isn't tragic, either. Along the way, he makes friends and is able to support himself.
No one owes him a career if he sucks.
I leave it ambiguous whether he's actually good or not. You never see his art. I thought it was irrelevant to the theme of disappointment.
Again, my favorite part is that there's but in the title.
I think it sounds good, Lou. We don't really have a camera or any movie-making equipment, so I'm not sure how we'd make it.
That's all right. I figured I worked hard on it for nothing.
Ha!
I was just trying to follow my dream.
Dreams are stupid. Literal dreams, like you have at night, are nonsense. So when people call your ambitions dreams, what they're really saying is your ambition is just an unconscious, unrealistic hallucination.
Maybe. But Hardy always wanted a radio show, and now he has one.
Luck.
Butchie's right. Absolute dumb luck.
Super dumb. Like moron level.
Okay.
Like in those old comedies, where they mistake a guy wearing a milkman uniform for a general and invite him to a fancy ball and make him head of the army.
Well, that not exactly.
When in fact, he's a dumb as rocks milkman, or in Hardy's case, a person without any marketable skills or abilities at all.
Look, I can do some things.
Not really, but go on.
Have you sent the script to anyone?
I have. There's a place that evaluates your work for free. I paid a couple $100 and got a letter back that says, needs work and not original.
Scam.
I also sent it to directors Karen Kasuma and Deborah Granick.
Okay.
Trying to keep it Brooklyn.
Those people are out of your league. Everyone is out of your league. Do something less ambitious, like puppet shows for super elderly prison inmates. I got an in.
Nah, I'm gonna give up. I'm no artist. How do you deal with the disappointment of lack of success, Hardy?
Well, I'm not sure I'm not successful.
No, you aren't.
But look, it's relative. I'm very lucky to be able to communicate ideas to others. You can only eat one cookie at a time. I don't need 10,000 cookies.
Or $10,000, or 10,000 cents, or hits on videos.
I got a friend who plays baseball for a living.
Oh, who?
You've never heard of him. That's the thing. He's not great, but he's good enough to keep playing. And he might even get called up someday, if everyone on the Braves is raptured or something. But he does what he loves. So what? He's not the best or second best or whatever.
I have no expectations like you poor saps. I figured I'm not good at anything, but I'm getting away with something anytime someone hires me. Gives me a constant feeling of superiority without ever having to apply myself.
Well, that's one way.
Anyway, I'll just file the script away, and you can throw it out when I die.
You already did, and we already did.
Oh, thanks.
Also, we threw away your pants, because you're an artist's butt.
Come in. Oh, Mr. Spinoza.
Hey, Professor Smart. I was wondering if you read my essay on quantum entanglement and the correspondence theory of truth in medieval Spanish Kabbalah.
I have.
And?
If I thought you were capable of having a job, day or otherwise, I would suggest that you don't quit it.
Sorry?
This is nonsense. I'm sure it meant something to you, or maybe not. Maybe it's an elaborate gag. But it certainly is a profound misunderstanding of every concept reference and a poorly reasoned mishmash of illogical conclusions.
But I spent years on that.
Oh, my word, I don't believe you. If that is true, what an unfathomable tragedy. But I'm positive you threw this together the night before after ingesting copious amounts of drugs and alcohol. I'm guessing gasoline huffing and cheap tequila.
That's my life's work.
Okay, well, how disappointed you must be. I'm going to go ahead and throw this in the trash to save you further embarrassment.
That's it. I'm quitting the interdisciplinary metaphysics program for good.
Oh, no, don't do that.
I'm never writing another thing or doing philosophy ever.
Now that I would like to get in writing.
And you can go to hell.
Oh, I'm getting the feeling you don't like me. I shall cry if you persist. Okay, leave, or I'll have you arrested for being a self-deluded dullard.
Come on in. Oh, thanks. How y'all doing today? Great. Nice break in the weather.
Right, right. I had the car drop me off a few blocks away and walk the rest.
Water?
No, I'm good. So, did you get a chance to listen to my work?
Yes.
Oh, great.
So, we don't represent your type of artist.
Okay. Okay, we're standing up.
Enjoy the rest of the lovely day.
I will. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
I miss my grandma. She was a voodoo mamba. She told me never put my shoes under the bed. I miss my grandma. My grandma's dead.
All right. Listen, I have to stop this right here. So, is this a joke?
A joke? No, it's my song. It's about my grandma. She was an incredible person.
A dead grandma song. Man, seriously?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
No offense, but this is bad with a capital fail. It's like it makes me want to tear my ears off of my skull bad.
Okay, so you're not interested.
I'm interested. Listen, sorry, man, but yeah, not really what we're looking for.
I'll just have to try someplace else.
I don't think anyone's going to be interested, frankly. If you want my advice, if there is some copy, some hard copy or something you can burn it.
Like a disc?
No, I mean like in a fire, burn it up. If it's just a file, erase it forever.
It's just, I loved my grandma, and this song sort of came to me, so I recorded it. I never thought it was the best song ever or anything, but I thought it sounded sort of cool.
No.
All right, well, thanks for your time.
No problem. You know what? Second thought, could you leave a copy here with me?
All right.
Thanks.
Our next reader is Don Bourgeoisie, and he will be reading his poem, I Am a House. Let's give a warm welcome to Don.
Thank you. I am a house. I am a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath with an eat-in kitchen, which means that my internal life is almost entirely made for survival. Sleeping, eating, expelling. I have one room, which I call a library. It's filled with books and art and ephemera. It's the place where the useless is stored, the home of ideas and memories and pleasures. I'm a house full of possessions, some of which are necessities. Others are fragments of past joys and lost loves. My basement floods, and someday it'll destroy the foundation. Someday I will no longer stand, but collapse. Because I was never built to last. I was built to be a temporary home, to a fleeting soul, a ghost, who kept every photograph of every friend or aunt, who stacked novels on travel guides on pages of poetry, who hung paintings from children and old ladies, sweet souls, the drawers of my grandparents' dresser, filled with good luck coins and war medals and precious stones, snatched from rivers by young hands, mine and my kin. I am a house on this street next to your house, and your house speaks too. Your house has poems to read too.
What was it you wanted to see me about, Captain?
I want you to see this.
Ah.
Well?
It's a sample of sailcloth that someone has smeared some paint on. Are we in the market for new sails?
No, it's a painting.
Ah. My painting.
I'm not just a pirate, Captain. I'm also an artist.
How about that?
What do you think?
About what?
About my painting.
What you do in your own time is none of my business, sir.
What do you think of this painting? Do you like it?
Of course.
It's very realistic, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I feel I could reach right in there and grab that banana with a sword sticking out of it.
Banana? It's a ship.
Ah, a banana ship.
No, not a banana ship, a schooner.
Clever that they disguised it as a banana. Good camouflage for the tropics.
There's no banana involved. That's the hull, and the yellow color is the glow of the sun at dusk.
I see.
You obviously know nothing about art.
I am a bosun, after all.
Of course. I'm a fool for putting such a simple, unsophisticated wretch such as yourself on the spot to evaluate something as sublime as a fine oil painting.
No problem, Captain. I know nothing about art, sir. My only hobby is this.
Good Lord.
It's scrimshaw, Captain. I've carved the story of our journeys on here. Here's a portrait of yourself and the first mate. Here's Hispaniola and the Summers Islands. Took me 5 years so far.
Oh.
I know it's crude.
Mm-hmm. So what is that carved on? Whalebone?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know how I feel about that.
It's problematic, I know.
I think I will deposit my painting in the apple barrel now. Ow!
Do your thing. Be fancy free to call a tune you sing.
That's Moondog. We're listening to Moondog. He was a blind musician who dressed like a Viking and stood on a street corner doing his thing. And he had a record contract and is widely considered to be a musical genius. So not the best example of what to do in the face of failure. But I would like to talk to you about what to do when you feel you are failing at the thing you most love to do. When your dreams are crumbling around you, when your art is underwhelming your fellow creatures. I'm a failed artist. What do I do? Even if you're not an artist. I encourage you to listen because this is all a thinly veiled metaphor for life in general. And I promise there will be no answers. Just things to think about and also tips about how to get an agent.
No, I'm kidding. My agent is Butchie. Butchie advocates for my art. He tells people, listen or don't, who cares? Same advice he gives at garage sales. Buy it or don't, I can't control your taste. I'm not a commodity. Oh, my friends, I know the pain of thinking you're failing at something, or actually failing at things. It's not just subjective. Sometimes we put our art out there, our ideas out there, and someone says, no, I'm sorry, you're stupid or whatever. No, you can't be a doctor, because you have all F's or something. Say, well, I'm trying. I want to be. It's in my heart. It gives me joy. That's not enough. Oh, my goodness. If ambition was all it took, sometimes it is for some, be willing to do anything. But others, no matter how hard we try, you can't say, I can't make it as a musician. I can't make it as an artist. What should I do, Hardy? And say, well, I don't know. I mean, if that was an easy problem to solve, it would have been solved a long time ago. And people give you advice like, well, just keep going, because they don't know what to say. It's like if you're dying or something, say, well, hang in there. You know, it just seems futile. So I want to share some things with you. Maybe lift your heart up, because that's what matters. You can control the joy a little bit, especially for things like that. Oh, there's real pain in life, but some of it we put on ourselves, because our expectations are not met. And then we think, well, maybe I'm expecting something unreasonable, or perhaps the expectation is hurting me. Don't do that. Don't put tacks in your own shoe. I'm going to put some thumbtacks in my shoes. Why? To give myself pain. Why? I don't know. Well, there, we'll take them out first. We'll do that. We don't need that. I had a musical band when I was a young man, and we had friends, a lot of people do this. I want to be in a band. I can be in a band. Because in our culture, we're like, everybody must be in a band. And you can. We can all do it. You don't need any experience. You don't have to play an instrument or anything. You just have to get up there. It's all about looking the part and everything like that. And so you do that. You go to the guitar store and they say, yes, you must. We even have a layaway plan. It's that important that you have a guitar. I said, well, if everybody's a musician, then shush. Just buy a guitar, go out there, and you're going to be, probably going to be a big star. So, all right. So, I had a band with friends, and we played, and we decided to make a record. Now, in those days, it wasn't really, it was transitioning to a CD, this new, they said, we're going to make a CD. So, we made a CD, and there was a recording studio in town. Another band started it. One of them had a father who was in the oil distribution business, and he had a kind of one of those buildings made out of metal, you know, not like a Quonset hut kind of thing. And he said to his son, you can have the back part as a recording studio. And so the fella made it into the recording studio, and they recorded lots of local bands there, and I believe Foghat, one of their later I don't know if it's the original Foghat or something like that. Maybe, I think a roadie got the name or something. So, well, I'm Foghat now. But it was like a real recording studio. So we went in there and we saved our money. Nobody's paying for it. Nobody would pay for us to do this. So we paid for it ourselves and go in there and we recorded an album. And some friends, I don't know if we sold any. I don't think we did. But we had a lot of them. We had boxes and boxes and boxes of these CDs. You try to give them to people and say, no, I'm good. And so years later, I was looking on the internet, because this was sort of before the internet was a big deal. The album came out. And I was like, I wonder if suddenly then it's a big hit somewhere. You know, that could happen. It's a kind of a sleeper album. And so I was looking around, and don't ever do this. Don't ever do this. You're going to see things you don't want to say. It's like opening up letters from a deceased relative or something. I wonder what Papa wrote in his letters. You don't want to see that. So I looked, and there was one of my songs I had written was on someone's list of the worst songs of all time, right next to a Tammy Faye Baker song, bless her heart. And I was crushed. I didn't think it was that great a song, but I did not think it was one of the worst songs of all time. And I was very sad, and I think I cried for maybe weeks or something, and coming to the realization that
I was very wrong about what I thought I could do. And something that I thought had given me joy and was giving others joy was an object of derision. I was being laughed at by people I didn't even know. And that can hurt a lot, you know? But, gosh, I thought about it for a while. And I was thinking, well, first of all, maybe it isn't that great a song. The song isn't me. The things I do aren't me. You know, I'm me. And I'm not up for debate. I'm not up for review. I'm not up for commodification. There's no price tag on Hardy White. You can't review me. You can review the things I do, but they're just things I do. I do lots of things. Oh, my goodness. I make things all the time. I make little devices to keep the window open or something like that. I make, every once in a while, hopefully daily, I make a duty. And nobody's going to evaluate my poos. And I don't care if they do or not, if they don't. So, you know, it's something I crossed it off my list of things I could make a living at. And I realized that I'm much better at, say, showing up at a job for doing retail or something like that. Or following very simple directions. It's something I am good at. And I'm going to celebrate that. And also, nobody is stopping me from making music. I can do that all I want. It may not be something somebody's going to buy, but nobody is going to stop my joy of creating. Oh, it feels good to create. Just make a painting. It's when you take it to the next level and you want someone else to love it as much as you. That's when it becomes problematic. People like that with their children, too. I want you to look at my grandchildren, my children. All right, very good. Yes, they are children. Look at them. Look what they made. Excellent. How about that? Now, it's exciting. It's just extrinsically exciting. But it's not... maybe it's not unusual. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. I don't know what that means. Is it? It's not by anyone? By someone? I don't know. Sometimes Tom Jones confuses me, especially the song Delilah. I'm very confused by that. But it is a good song. I don't know if he wrote it. I don't know if it's based on I hope it's not based on something that happened in his life. Yeah, here's a song I wrote about time I stabbed my girlfriend to death. Oh, my goodness. Tom, really? I like the Moondog song where he says, do your thing. I believe in that. I believe in doing your thing. Oh, my gosh. And I know lots of discouraged artists. You know, there's all sorts of levels of self-delusion. Some of it's good. Some of it's bad. But, gosh, don't go looking for pain. You know, if somebody likes something you've done, oh, that's such a blessing.
And if they don't, well, you know, there could be a lot of reasons. Sometimes we like to rationalize that, well, they just don't know. They don't know what genius is. Well, maybe they do. Maybe you're not very good. There's all sorts of levels of doing things, and you can do things at any level, and they can all bring you joy. And we don't judge people by the same criteria. If you're on a stairway to stardom, you're not going to be judged at the same level as somebody who's trying to get to Carnegie Hall or something like that, right? Oh, my goodness. I have been entertained at family reunion talent shows and say, that is amazing. And I feel just the same feeling as when I saw Pavarotti at the Pratsimaggio. I don't know what I'm saying. Some opera singer or something like that. It all is relative a lot of times. That doesn't mean that Pavarotti is the same as Uncle Roy. You know, they're just two different things, but they can both bring you joy. Your little child's painting can be wonderful and can bring you as much joy as a Picasso. So a lot of people say, oh, my kid could do that. No, there are some things that do take a lot of skill, right? But even that, in that level, people judge different. Say, there's a painting, it's very realistic. Oh, but it's not very creative. It just looks exactly like a photo or something. So you could spend years making the most realistic painting of a circus performer's butt or something like that. And still, people might say, no, it's not good enough because it lacks a thing. Oh, you can't control that. So what do you do? Oh, I don't know. I just try to make things. I try to connect with people. And if I connect with anybody at all, I think that's wonderful. Now, sometimes it's like baseball.
Sometimes you go up to that baseball and sometimes you hit that baseball out of the park. And other times you take a swing at it and nothing happens. But you got to keep swinging. You got to keep playing that baseball. And maybe you'll make something great and maybe you won't. But you got to love baseball. You got to love just being out there. You got to love the smell of the ball and the smell of the bat. And you got to go around smelling things. Sometimes people really like baseball will crawl around their hands and knees, smell each individual plate. Say, I'm going to go smell that mound. What's it smell like? It smells like clay. Now, I've got a lot of clay up in my nose, so I'm going to go blow that out, and I'm going to come back, and I don't know. I'll smell some bats. So that's the way you got to have joy in doing it. If you're doing it to get famous, or say you're in a band because you're trying to get famous, you know, it's not going to happen. I remember watching the film Heavy Metal Parking Lot. Heavy Metal Parking Lot. And they're talking to people at a Judas Priest concert. Very funny, very entertaining. Is it a masterpiece? I don't know. I got a lot of joy out of it. But there's one fellow in there that says, yes, I'm an ex-bass player. I say, what? See, an ex-bass player, you're just playing it for a little while. Now, well, band didn't make it, so I've just given up music. See, maybe he didn't like music to begin with. So you're certainly not going to get any success that way. So you got to question why you're doing it. Do you get any joy out of it? But I'll tell you another dead end is thinking that just people don't know because they're brilliant. You're brilliant, but they just don't appreciate you. That is a recipe for arrogance. Then you might look silly. Then you might embarrass yourself because you might not be getting better at your craft. And then people are mocking you. Say, I think I have a wonderful voice. So it's hard to look at what you do objectively and at the same time not feel bad about yourself. But I'm telling you, yourself never changes. You're fine. You have worth as a person outside of what you do as an artist or anything like that. And that nobody can take away from you. You're not for sale. Oh, I love, some people will listen to my show and hate it. And then they will hate me. Did you ever see this? There's people that are successful in music or something, bands, and they're very big. And then supposedly everybody hates them. So, oh yes, that band, everybody hates them. Well, now, hang on. Now, they're selling albums and everything, so somebody doesn't hate them. What makes them terrible? Well, their music is derivative and all, blah, 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 blah. I know. You got to be able to critique things, right? But they're up there doing it. And I don't know. See, even people who are successful get this. And people who aren't successful, sometimes once they get success, people go, oh, no, they sold out. They used to be. I liked them when no one liked them. So it's hard. All these things coming at you at once. And what it does tell you is that a relationship with art is dysfunctional. That's the number one that you should know, is that there's all sorts of opinions. Our culture has made it a commodity. And so there's all, we overthink it. There's a lot of advertising involved, a lot of propaganda. I'll just call it what it is. When we call it advertising, but it's really just propaganda for commerce. And when you look at it that way, you say, gosh, well, that distorts everything. I know. Just trust yourself about what you like. You know, it doesn't have to be good necessarily. It doesn't have to be, because we're not all sophisticated, right? And that doesn't mean that something is not going to give me joy. And also, like I said, there's context. You can sit on a porch with your friends playing jug band music, and it can be the most transcendent experience. But if you get on a stage and play it for other people, they just will not get it. It might be something you have to participate in. It might be something you have to feel in the moment. So all those things factor in. Oh my gosh, it's complicated. Not everybody gets us. And I understand that. I understand that you might not like what you're hearing, what I'm saying. Maybe you just don't like work. I don't like when people speak. All right, that's great. Nothing I can do about that. And I don't like your ideas. All right. I don't like what you're saying or why. All right, okay. Now you're wounding me a little bit, but I guess I'm going to get over it. And yes, I get this. Yes, I get criticism.
and I got to figure out which of it is valid and what's not and what I should think about and how upset I should be. But I never get to the point where I want to destroy myself or forget it all, you know. I enjoy doing it. And I don't know if I would do it if nobody was listening. I honestly don't know. You listening and telling me you are, and if I make you laugh or I make you think or something like that, I'll tell you, that does elevate me, and I feel wonderful. But I've been doing this a long, long time, and I understand that people's fancies come and go. You'll have disappearing listeners, so you'll hear from people and say, oh, I love what you do. I love what you do. Thank you. Thank you. And you hear from them, and then they're just gone because they, like you, when you burned out on a certain band or something, have moved on. And that's often hard to take, but that's part of it. And that's how we are in our lives anyway. Oh, my gosh, people come and go out of your lives. I miss my neighbor, Hussein, who moved away. He's a couple houses down. I say, man, Hussein really added to the neighborhood. What a friendly, awesome guy. And he came in, and now he's out of my life. And I probably will never see him again because we weren't friends or anything. Neighbors, friendly kind of waves, talk. I talk to him about his garden and everything. But he got transferred to a different university. Now he's off there. He's off in Texas or something. And I won't see him. But our relationship to art is like that too. Things go in and out of our life. Oh, the music we enjoyed as a child, we might not enjoy anymore. Oh, when I saw people criticizing like children's show music, say, oh, I don't like that Barney or something, they'll say. I don't like that Teletubbies. I go, well, first of all, bless you. I'm not going to evaluate it. I don't know much about children's music, but I've seen children enjoy it. And I don't know if I want to rob them of that joy. Say, well, what should they be listening to? Oh, I don't know, Agent Orange or something. I don't know if that's for children. I'm wondering, Misfits. All right, that's great. And that'd make them a hip, cool kid. But I really think a lot of times just Dipsy singing hat, 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 hat. It's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful song. Oh, I still think there was a Barney song. I've taken care of a lot of children in my life, so I've sit and watched these things. And there's a Barney song that goes, popcorn is so much fun, fun to make and fun to eat. Something family, that's a different song. I'm mixing them up now. Look at Mr. Rogers. Everybody loved it. At the time Mr. Rogers was on, see, y'all love it now. Y'all love it now, but it was mocked. Oh, endlessly he was mocked. People make comments about it all the time, saying this is the worst thing. This is so backwards. This is an old-fashioned show. Kids don't like it at all like that. Y'all remember it fondly now. It's weird, but a lot of people made fun of it. He was an object of derision a lot of times. You don't remember that part. You know, and kids today, I don't even know if they would like to see that. So let's look at a videotape of how crayons are made. And when Sesame Street came on, a lot of people criticized that, I remember. You know what I remember? Someone saying, oh, Kermit is bad for children because his eyes are sleepy. And it's going to make children sleepy. So I don't know. I think maybe he's on his way to being beloved. He's made out of Jim Henson's mom's coat, which is a fine Republican coat. No, I don't know. I think that was Nixon's puppet. Nixon had puppets. He never saw them. That's why I had a tape recorder there. He would pre-record the dialogue, and then he'd hold up the puppets and, let me say this about that. And then say, oh, look, that's a crocodile puppet or something, Mr. Nixon. Oh, we don't know about people's secret artistic joys, the things that bring them joy. People are playing music in secret. They're doing paintings in secret. And we all feel the need to be a little bit creative. And some people, you know, even the people who are evil sometimes like to paint. We always use Hitler as an example. Look at Hitler. And his art wasn't so good. Maybe that was part of his anger, you know. So I'm going to show them that my landscapes are something. But see, that's an arrogance. Just be humble about it. Be grateful that you can make something like that. Take joy in the creative process. I put something down that it looks like something. It doesn't have to be great. And that's, I think, what children's art is kind of transcendent. They've got no expectations. They're just experimenting. They're playing. They don't think for a minute, oh, I hope this sells, or I hope this gets in a gallery, or unless somebody praises me, unless this is in the paper about what a great artist I am, I'm going to get no satisfaction from putting my hand in painting and pressing it all over a piece of paper like that. Oh, I sometimes make art in secret. You sing a lot too, don't you? I sing and clap my hands all the time. I don't expect you to sing along necessarily. I just like to make music with my mouth and hands. Doesn't sound like a song to me. Oh, it doesn't, does it? Oh, I'm singing though. Oh, my heart is full of joy and it's overflowing like a kettle when it boils over and you got pasta in it and it starts to foam up. How do you keep it from foaming up? Lay a spoon across the top of the pot. Boom, boom. Oh, yes, my heart boils over. It's bubbling over with joy and enthusiasm all the time. Do I think that anybody would actually pay for it? I don't care. I don't think I care. Would I like to get paid for just making funny sounds into a microphone? Who wouldn't? Oh, who wouldn't? I'd like to get, if people wanted to send me money for my poetry, I can't imagine how that would make me feel. Probably. Too full of myself. That's a thing, too. You start to believe the BS. So, well, maybe I am a genius or something. It never quite happened to me because life is very good to me. Fate is very good to me. It always makes sure that I stay within my lane, as they say. I was driving a rental car recently, and it had this feature on it that if you cross the line on the highway, it beeped at you. Beep, 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 beep. It was, stay in your lane, like that. And say, oh, well, I'm getting into, I want to pass. No, don't pass. You'll make just fine time if you just stay in that lane. Stop trying to pass and get ahead like that. You're going to get in an accident. Know your limitations and everything like that. Clint Eastwood used to say that. No, it wasn't him. Somebody said that a man knows his limitations, and it wasn't him. I don't know. But you got to, don't sell yourself short, but also know what you can and you can't do. And I'm grateful these things because I don't believe in better and best and everything like that. Evolution does not support superlatives. Best and better and all is always relative to a certain time. What's best for that situation? What's best for you right now? And what's best for me right now is just to talk to you, my friends. I can't solve all your problems, and I don't try to. I don't try to be ambitious, and I don't know what to say about complicated current events and everything like that. I guess I could, but if I could just tell you what's in my heart and what I think is right try to make you feel a little less miserable and a little less lonely. And if I share some of my weaknesses and some of my foolishness with you, maybe you'll think, well, gosh, I don't hate Hardy, and he has a similar problem to what I have. Therefore, maybe I'm not loathsome. Maybe I'm not a failure. Maybe I'm fine. Maybe I can see myself in Lou. Maybe I can see myself in Butchie. I don't hate or think Lou and Butchie are failures. They're just people. Oh, it's an accomplishment just to live your life. It is art just to live your life. Every day is art. Every day you create. Every day you create yourself. Every day you create some beautiful thing that you share with the world just to get by. Oh, gosh, you have strategies, you have craft with everything you do, even if it's like how you hide paperwork at work. So all I know now, I've been doing my job long enough that I know how to pretend to look like I'm busy. That's beautiful. How is that not a work of art? Let's expand our idea of what it is to be a successful artist. And then, you might already be one. Who knows? Do you really want to be in galleries holding a champagne like that and trying to come up for some explanation of this painting you've just done of a banana with a sword sticking out of it? Do you really want to say how it's, oh, I think this is really, it speaks to the struggle we have every day with our bananas, which is, in this case, is a symbol for think. Mankind's think. They have I saw an online generator and an artist sent this to me, and it's a artist statement. A lot of times in academia, you've got to have a little artist statement. You can't just do a painting or something. You have to then explain it in philosophical terms. Why'd you use green? Well, green speaks to my obsession about life and the environment and stuff like that. All right. Well, that sounds good. It's my favorite color is why I use it. Okay. By the way, green is not my favorite color. I don't have one. Maybe I do. Maybe it's like a deep blue. I'm fascinated with very deep cobalt blues, you know, rich gem-like blues. I don't know why that is. I think because it's the color of the throne of God. No, I don't know. Maybe it is. In the Bible, I think it says it is. Blue says it's deep, rich blue. All right, that may be. I don't know. I just like it. Maybe it's the wavelength. I don't know why I like a certain thing. And a lot of people don't know why they like things. And so how do you predict it? Well, you can't. And you can't appeal to everybody. Oh my gosh, I realize that my show is probably the Dorian fruit of radio. You know, it's something you like or you don't like. I don't even know if it's an acquired taste. I don't know if you could like, you have an acquired taste of something that smells like garbage and kerosene. You know, who knows? I think it's just something you like or you don't like, maybe. And so I am thankful and surprised anytime someone says, oh, Hardy, I listen to your show. Really. The funny thing about art, too, is like your relationship to the artist's relationship to friends and family. And you'll notice this. I've experienced this. I have friends who are writers, who are musicians, who are visual artists, who have podcasts and everything. And they will tell you this. A lot of times their close friends and families pay absolutely no attention to what they do. It's very interesting. It's like, has your brother-in-law ever been to one of your shows? No. You know, oh, why is that? So I had to think about that for a time. What is that? Why sometimes are the people we know the best not paying any attention to what we do? Why is it strangers? And I think like, well, maybe because they know you, because they experienced you, and your art maybe is just a little piece of you. While you are the actual work of art, you are the real masterpiece. And so when they speak to you, they're going directly to the source. Would you rather, and of course the answer is yes, you would rather read a novelist's novel than spend an afternoon with them. Okay, so I'll take that back. Well, not for everybody. I mean, maybe you would like to hang out with Charles Dickens. So I would love to read Bleak House, but even more so, did you write Bleak House? I would love to read Hard Times, but rather more so, I would like to hang out with Charles Dickens. And it might go something like this. Well, hello. No, there's no skit. But who knows? It might be better. It might be worse. I don't know if someone's art is superior to them. It's definitely a distillation. It's definitely a little snapshot. It's like seeing someone's memory or seeing through their eyes temporarily. But they are complex. They have depths that the thing they create can never have. They have a complexity that this object or this song or this fleeting moment can never contain. Oh, you are already a work of art, my friend. That's why a lot of these conceptual artists say, I'm just going to sit in a glass booth like that, and that at the museum, and pick my nose or something, or drink some chamomile tea, or maybe I'll smear blood and chocolate pudding on myself. And that will be the work of art. I am it. The artist is the art. Or maybe the absence of the artist. That's what I say. Listen, I'll tell you, I got a new conceptual piece. It's called Hardy's Not There. And you will go, it is right now, it is in every museum and performance hall in the world. This has never been done before. But you go into a museum and you will notice, let's say MoMA, Museum of Modern Art. And you go into the Museum of Modern Art in New York City and you look for Hardy White and you won't see me. That's because I have this absence installation. I'll tell you, sometimes, and we know this, and I like Asian art a lot, sometimes space has the same weight as mass. Sometimes emptiness has the same weight as mass. So the absence of Hardy screams Hardy White anywhere you go. So go in there and look around, and you'll say, man, I can't stop thinking of Hardy because I just, he's not. He's so conspicuously absent from everything that I'm looking at. Except this show. I'm sorry. It violates that. And you can do that with yourself. Say, well, maybe I'm in every museum and every stage across the country. Maybe my absence screams something. Where is Sue? I don't know. I suddenly can't think of any. Any artist's names that I know. Well, I don't want to just say one person's name. I know a lot of talented people. But I know people with ranges of talents. And I know people who have a range of abilities. And a lot of folks will say to me, oh, Hardy, I don't do anything well. Well, I don't know. First of all, I don't know about that. Second of all, when you're alone, you do everything the best. So there's nothing stopping you from writing something to you. Write a poem to yourself. Nobody has to see it. Everybody thinks everything has to be posted or somebody has to see this right away. Make it a secret poem. Make it a secret photograph. Make it, a lot of people have those on their computer. Make it a secret piece of art that just is for you. You say, well, no, I don't want anybody to see it. And we see that a lot of times. There'll be secret artists, and a lot of times they're brilliant, right? You say, oh, I found these photographs. Oh, my gosh, this person never showed them to anybody in their lifetime because they didn't want to be judged. They didn't want to be disappointed. They didn't want to have their heart broken. But, oh, my gosh, look at them. In solitude, they were secretly developing into a genius, to someone who mastered their craft. They just could not take the pressure of having that evaluated, having someone judge something that doesn't have to be judged. Now, if you put something out in a contest, oh yes, yeah, somebody's going to judge it. Say, I've submitted my poems to a journal. Oh, just wait. Just wait. Steel yourself, because who knows who's looking at that? Who knows what kind of note you're going to get back? And rejection. You might not get anything but rejections your entire life. Maybe you'll never have anything accepted. And you cannot internalize that. It doesn't mean that you're terrible. It also doesn't mean you're secretly great and everybody's an idiot. Doesn't mean a thing. It just is. Stuff happens. Sometimes we never know why. Sometimes we never know why. But it doesn't make you less of a creative being. You only have one life. Nobody should begrudge you your ability to create. No one should force you to not be an artist if you want to be. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be. You can be less than mediocre. Who cares? Don't stop if it gives you joy. And I'm telling you, making things, creating things does give you joy. Now, I think back in the old times, before things could be widely distributed or shown, people did just decorate stuff for the set. Well, I'm making a pot for the family. I'm going to make some designs on it. Nobody ever think that pot's going to be in a museum. It's just for you. It's just for you to enhance your daily life, to brighten it a little bit. People painted the walls of their homes and murals and everything just to lighten up their own existence. Not to prove anything. Not to prove their worth. Not to compete. Take it back. Take back your self-expression from those who would put it in shops. It's yours. It's your right as a human being to make and create and change your environment in certain ways. To manipulate it. To bring yourself joy. To surprise yourself. To be part of your environment. Oh, you can do it. And you don't have to be published to be a poet or an artist or something. No, of course you're not probably not the same level as some genius out there, but who cares? You only got one life. And yes, we are all different. And yes, we all have different abilities and things like that. Doesn't matter. Oh, I'm on your side. Will you be on my side? Oh, why is this guy on the radio? Now you can debate that. You say, why is this person who's not very good being given a big audience? I think they ought to do something else with their time, or somebody else should have that, or we should hear another voice. Oh, sometimes I think I'm here for comparison. Oh, listen to Hardy White. Oh, listen to Hardy. He's just a normal person. He's just like you, and he's on the radio. And I realize that. I realize that I'm here as a representative. I'm not here as somebody to lord over anybody. I'm not here as an example of somebody who's accomplished. I'm here because I'm one of you, my friends. One of you who has been given a microphone and asked to speak from the heart. And I'm just telling you like I think it is. And I'm doing it with as open a soul as I can possibly do without damaging myself. I'm here to expose myself. I love when I say, oh, I'm a 12-year-old. That's how I giggle at things like that. But I'm just here to be another human being, full of frailty and self-doubt, with a long list of failures on their resume, with a long list of frustrations. Another human being to tell you, hey, this is what's real. Don't get caught up in thinking that you gotta be somebody that you are not. All right? There's nothing you, for good or bad, you're relentlessly you. All right? It might be good, you might be awful, but there's very little you can do about it. You know? But the more joy you have and the more love of yourself you have, the less of a menace you are as a neighbor. So I say this selfishly too. I want you to love yourself and I want you to be content, because that makes you just a better person to be around, you know, selfishly speaking. And you'll be happier, because there's lots of things that are going to make you unhappy. And there is lots of sadness and disappointment in life. And that's going to be handed to you. You don't have to go looking for it. You don't have to make it yourself. It is widely available. Say, I'm going to make rocks and dirt. Why? The rocks and dirt abound. They're out there. You don't have to go looking for it. I'm going to make a hailstorm. Wait, and you will experience one. You don't have to make yourself a disaster. I want to make a volcano. All right, like a tiny one out of paper mache with vinegar and baking soda. That is fine. You don't have to make a large one. They have those already. And they've got the molten lava, magma, and everything like that. So you don't have to do that. So, well, I was going to melt some rocks. Yeah, I don't think you have to. Oh, my friends. We are friends. Are we friends?
No, I can't stand this.
All right.
Why are you listening?
Just to do it. Just
because I want to torture you.
All right. Well, bless your heart. That's okay. But I hope you're getting something out of it. And I hope that you are experiencing a fraction of the joy I have speaking to you and sharing things with you that I might think are funny or important or interesting. That's all. I love to see people share things like that. I love to go to like tiny museums where someone's made a museum in their house and it's based on some passion they have. So I love paper clips. Come see my paper clips. All right. And it sounds boring, but it's not boring in the context of someone's overwhelming enthusiasm and joy for something. It's infectious. And you say, oh, I can see how you would be into that. I can see how you would love paper clips. I would see how you love a certain style of shoe or something. Or there's a museum here of ventriloquist dummies in Kentucky. I haven't been there yet, but it's only open during, I think, the summer or something. But I think it's just in somebody's house or somebody has a love of that thing. And you might mock it and say, oh, I wouldn't say it's creepy and everything. But gosh, what an amazing thing to have a passion for something in spite of what others may think or not think. And there's always somebody out there who's going to share it with you. There's always somebody. And I'll tell you, I don't mind having, it'd be nice that millions like me and I could walk into any restaurant and they go, Hardy White, there he is. Hardy White, we love you, Hardy White. But I'm also content with, one person writing me and saying, I really appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. I will never discount that. I will never pretend that didn't happen. I will never think, well, now I need 10 more. You know, every human being is amazing and important. They're alive. They're temporary. So they're all incredible. And yes, they all matter. They absolutely all matter. And what you feel and what you say does matter. And it doesn't matter what your innate intelligence is or talent or anything. You know, you're a human being. And I believe that we're all very precious. And I will never discount that. I will never discount that. I don't have greed for money or attention. I'm not saying I'm not weak. I'm not saying I don't have a ego or something. Of course I do. Am I vain? Yes. Am I narcissistic? I'm sure. But my better self, when I think about it, my rational self realizes how important those moments are and how much joy I've received from you, my friends. And I take it very seriously. And also, I don't. That's just the other side of the coin. Oh, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. I am always so thankful that you are with me. You're listening to this radio station, which is an incredible thing for free. Well, it's not always for free. But I would like to say to you, go out there this week and make something secret this week. I don't care that it didn't rhyme, wasn't a good rhyme. Doesn't matter. Because when I'm inventing, I leave things to chance. I leave things to chance. Oh, my friends, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week.